environment to grow up that way. But one thing I know to be true from just experiences in my life, experiences from talking to other people, is how easy it is to just kind of get in a rhythm. Where we just kind of do our thing where, okay, it's Sunday morning, we go, we sit through Sunday school, we sit through Sunday morning, we hear the preaching, we hear the singing, we do all the stuff that we normally do, and we walk out the front doors not a lick difference than what we were when we came in. And yeah, we maybe heard some good preaching, we heard some good singing, we did all this different type of stuff, but did God really speak to our hearts? And one thing I know to be true this morning is God wants to speak to us. God doesn't want us here this morning just because we have nowhere better to be, or just because we're just a bunch of robots that this is what we do on Sunday morning, but He wants to help us. He wants to challenge us. He wants to work in our hearts to make us more like Him. And sometimes I think it'd be good for us to kind of get out of the rhythm a little bit and get out of just the kind of motions of just this is what we always do and this is how it is, and really take a step back and say, God, would you do something in my heart this morning? Because guess what? I need the Lord this morning. If I'm going to preach His word and it's going to mean anything for the cause of Christ, it's going to need God's power on it. And if God's going to help you this morning and the message is going to mean anything to you and it's going to help you in any way, shape, or form, you need the Lord to speak to you through me this morning. Because it doesn't matter who the preacher is or the singer. If God's not in it, this is all in vain. This all really means nothing. And I don't want that to be the case this morning. And I know God does want to speak to us, but how much do we want Him to speak to us? And Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. And I wonder if sometimes we just kind of expect, well, because we're in church and because we made an effort to be here, whatever, like God's automatically going to do a work in our hearts. And so I think sometimes it's good to just ask the Lord and say, God, would you speak to me this morning? God, would you help me preach? God, would you help me listen? God, would you open my heart that it'd be ready and willing to receive what you have for me? And so just to something a little bit different this morning, I asked our pianist to just play a couple of stanzas of a hymn. And in just the quietness of the room this morning, I asked if we just bow our heads and close our eyes, and I would ask you this morning to just do some business with God. I know it's weird because we wait till after the message to do business with God. We wait till after the message to pray and talk to the Lord. But how about beforehand this morning, instead of just going through the we try to get a hold of God. And I ask this morning, pray for me as we're doing. Pray for me this morning, because I need God's help to preach this message. I need God to be the one to fill my mouth with the words that He wants me to say. I need God's Spirit to fill me with the right love and compassion and whatever it is. I need God, and I need you to pray for me. And you need God this morning. And you need to have a really ready and willing heart and ask God to sometimes break up my fallow ground. That, Lord, whatever it is, I'd be ready to receive what you have for me. And we're not going to take very long, we're not going to prolong it, but if the pianist, if she'd like to start playing, just for a stanza or two of a hymn, I'd ask you this morning, just spend some time in your seat talking to God, and pray for me this morning, and pray for yourself. And say, God, would you speak to me this morning? Would you make yourself real to me this morning? Could I leave this place not the same as I was when I came in? And do some business with the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Appreciate doing that this morning. If you'd like to turn your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12 this morning. Psalm chapter 12. It's good to be in church this morning. And I'm thankful for a God that cares enough about us to want to meet with us. We don't owe it for God to speak to us this morning. We don't owe it for God to care enough about us to try to help us or do a work in our hearts, but I'm thankful He cares. I'm thankful this is important to Him this morning, what's going on here at Faith Baptist Church. But Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 1, we're just going to read one verse of Scripture to start off this morning. Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 1, this is a Psalm of David, And David says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." I'll read that again. "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning, Lord. And once again, just want to thank you, God, for this opportunity to be here. Thank you, Lord, that we have a reason to meet here, that, God, we serve a true and a living Savior. And God, that this is very real this morning. And Lord, we're not trying to be mystic or weird or anything. God, we just want to hear from Almighty God. And Lord, we want you to reach down from heaven this morning and touch our hearts and touch my heart. And God, do a work that only you can do. And God, I meant that very much. And Lord, I've prayed this throughout this week. And as I knew that I was preaching this morning, God, many times praying that, Lord, I need your help. And God, that this means nothing if you don't have your hand upon it. And so, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ this morning and asking that you'd empty me of sin, self, and pride. And God, I pray that you'd make me a vessel fit for the Master's use. And Lord, you'd fill me with your love, with your spirit, with your words. That God, every single thing this morning that comes out of my mouth would not be from Aaron Riddle, but it'd be a word from the Lord. And not, Lord, that just my words would be right, but God, that my spirit would be right as I give those words. And Lord, that it'd be from love and care and compassion and Lord, just a desire to try to help these dear folks that are here this morning. And God, I pray for them as they listen to this message, that God, you'd prepare their hearts for what you have for them. Maybe it's what the topic is on this morning. Maybe it's something completely different. God, you're not bound by man. And God, you can speak in whatever way you see fit. So please do that, Lord. And God, please help me. Lord, I've battled with this message. And to be honest, there's a part of me that doesn't want to preach this morning. But God, this is what you've laid on my heart and given me to preach. And so God, give me the confidence and boldness to say what needs to be said. And Lord, that you'd bless it. And that, Lord, as we leave this place this morning, there wouldn't be any talk about the preacher or the singers or Lord, no one would go out of here talking about the message preached by Aaron Riddle, but Lord, that they'd be able to say that we heard a word from the Lord. And that, God, you'd be lifted up and glorified. I pray you'd get the increase, that Jesus Christ would be high and lifted up. And that, Lord, you draw all men unto yourself. And so, Father, help me preach this morning. Lord, help me preach as a dying man to dying men. And we'll be sure to give you the praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. We find here in Psalm chapter 12 in verse number 1 that David starts off this psalm asking for help. And whatever he's going through, whatever he's facing, whatever he's dealing with in his life, he realizes that he needs some help. And folks, I think it's good for us to sometimes realize in our lives that we go through things and face things and all that where we just simply need help. And there's nothing wrong with realizing that, hey, I can't handle everything by myself and I can't do everything by myself. And David is at this point understanding, hey, I need help, but it's important to note that he says, "Help, Lord." And we'll get to that a little bit, but understanding that when we ask help, God should be the one that we go to for that help. But David's here in a position where he needs something. He needs some help. He needs something in his life that's going to get him through and help him go forward. And you find that many times that David asks the Lord for help a lot. You don't find just one instance in Psalms or in the Bible where David comes to God asking for something, but time and time and time again, David comes and says, "Help, Lord. God, I need you," over and over and over again. And folks, the same can be true with us. As we go through this life, we need help, and we need help a lot. And it's important for us to sometimes realize that we need the Lord, and we do need that help. And what the great thing about this morning is that the Lord was David's helper. David didn't turn to self-help books. David didn't turn to Oprah or Dr. Phil. David didn't turn to his friends or his family. No, David said, "Help, Lord." And he knew that God was going to be the one this morning, that if he was going to get what he needed, and he was going to get through his circumstance, and he was going to get through his situation, that God was going to be the one to get him through those things. And so when David time and time again went through these things and faced these things, he always went to God and said, "God, I need you." And I'm thankful that the Lord honored his requests. I'm thankful that God didn't leave him hanging, keep your spot here, but go to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Psalm 121. In verse number 1, Psalm 121, verse number 1, the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes, this is David, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and the earth. David knew who was his helper. David knew where his help came from. It was from God. David says over in Psalm 54 in verse number 4 that God is my helper. And there's a double-sided thing to that, that once again, David knew where to go to for help, but praise the Lord that there's a God that cared enough about David to help David when he needed it. And this morning, can I say, folks, as we go through these situations where we need help, whatever it may be, we need to realize that God's the one that we need to turn to. And God's the one that we need to get close to. And praise the Lord this morning that God is our helper. And God can help us in our circumstances and situations and whatever it may be. And He can help us a lot greater and a lot better than anyone else can. Because sometimes we need help. But we find here in Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 1 that David was crying out for help because of the lack of godly and faithful men. And as David writes this song and pens this psalm in the Word of God, he says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. And David looks around and says, God, I need some help. And I'm sure he said, God, my kingdom needs some help and my people need some help. Why? Because there's a lack of godly and faithful men. People that would put God first, people that would serve the Lord with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind and all their strength. And David looks around and says, hey, it's missing. And there's a lack of it. It kind of reminds me of what the Lord said in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30, where He sees the wickedness of Israel and all the terrible things that are going around and going on. He says, and I sought for a man among them. Exactly, that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge that I might not destroy them. But you know what he says in the end of that verse? But I found none. Because the godly man ceaseth, because the faithful fail from among the children of men. Can I say this morning that our nation needs help today? And our nation needs help because the godly man ceaseth and the faithful fail from among the children of men. Can I say churches today need help? And they need help because the godly man ceaseth. And our families today need help. And they need help because the godly man ceaseth. And individuals today need help. And they need help because the godly man and woman ceaseth, and the faithful fail from among the children of men. And I wonder what God would have to say today in the United States of America, in the state of Washington, and in Lewis County, and dare I say even Faith Baptist Church, where what would God have to say if I say and said, I sought for a man who would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Could he say that he found one today? If David was looking around, would he have to cry out and say, help, Lord, because the godly man ceases, because the faithful fail from among the children of men? We need some godly men and we need some godly women today, church. And we need some people who are going to be faithful to be godly men and godly women. And can I say this morning, that David didn't say that the good man ceaseth. He said that the godly man ceaseth. And I think a problem that we've had today is we've been complacent and fine with replacing godly with good. And yeah, we have a lot of good men, and we have a lot of good ladies, and a lot of good teenagers, and all that type of stuff, good pastors, but what about godly men and women today? Because here's the thing, God's standard is up here today. What God expects and what God wants is up here. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And he says, I am the Lord and I change not. And so God's standard is up here, but the world's standard is down here because the world is contrary to the Lord and to Jesus Christ. And what has happened in the church today and in Christianity is instead of saying, okay, God is up here and the world is down here, so we're going to be where God is at and we're going to have God's standards and godly living and all that kind of stuff, we've said, well, the church is way down here, so how about if we're just above the world? And man, we're not the world, right? We don't do all the wicked things that they do. We're not as terrible and bad and vile and all that kind of stuff like the world is. And so we're good. And yeah, compared to the world, we're good. But just because we're good compared to the world, and just because we're good compared to the person sitting across the pew, and just because we're good compared to our neighbor, our family, does not mean we're godly today. Because godliness is God's standard. Can I say that, you know what? What is good changes. But what is godly doesn't. Man, just look at the world today and see what the world calls good. And God talked about it with the Israelites about woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. And folks, that's where we're at today. We're a bunch of wickedness and vileness and reprobateness is now called good. And it changes from society. That's why we can't base how we live compared to what the world does. Because the world is just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And as God's still up here, the world's going to keep coming down and down and down. And so if we just make sure we're just above the world and we're just good, then guess what? As the world goes down, we're going to go down with it. And folks, we need to make sure this morning that we're godly, not just good. And turn, if you would, to Psalm chapter 17. Psalm chapter 17. Psalm chapter 17 and verse number 15, David talks about some men in the world and what they're focused on and worried about and what they do. But in Psalm chapter 17 and verse number 15, the Bible says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You know what David wanted in his life? And what David was focused on in his life and what his desire was for in his life, it was to be like the Lord. And he said, if the world's worried about all these things and does all these things and focuses on all these things, you know what I'm going to be satisfied with? You know what I'm going to be content with? You know what I want for me in my life? Is when I have a likeness like God. Is when I'm God-like. Like the Lord. What are you satisfied with this morning? If you had to be real and not just because we're in church, say, oh yeah, I want to be like the Lord. But if you were forced to really write down what you'd be satisfied with and what drives you and what your desires are, what would you put in that spot? I'll be satisfied when I have a great career. I'll be satisfied when I have this perfect relationship. I'll be satisfied when I have so much money or when I have this thing or that thing or I can do. What are you satisfied with? And I wonder how many of us this morning would say, man, I want to be like the Lord. And I'll be satisfied when I'm in His image. Folks, it's important. And the reason the godly man has ceased is because that's not our goal anymore. And that's not what's important to us anymore. To be like Him. To be God-like. But David wanted to please the Lord, and he wanted to be like the Lord. But the point of that is, as I just, David wanted to please God. You look at his life, and you look at his writings, and you look at the thing, David's focus was, God, are you pleased with me? God, are you pleased with what I'm doing? Does how I live my life, God, bring pleasure to you? David wanted to please the Lord, and David knew that there were blessings that came from pleasing the Lord. That it was worth it to live a life that was pleasing to the Lord. Go to Psalm chapter 18. Actually, just right after the passage we just read. But Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 17. David says this. Psalm 18 and verse number 17. It says, He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. He took pleasure in David. Verse 20, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. David wasn't a perfect man, and you look at his life and you can find that. But David did his best to live his life in a way that pleased God. That the Lord was happy, and as he said, delighted in what he did and how he lived. And there were blessings that came from that. Did you read down through here what David talks about the deliverance that was given him? Why? Because God delighted in him. Because God took pleasure in his life, and he said, God hath recompensed me, he's rewarded me according to my righteousness and how I've lived. Folks, there's blessings today in being godly. There's blessings today in living for the Lord Jesus Christ, how he wants you to live. I'm not preaching today that all you just live godly and do right and you never have any problems or any issues, and if something bad's going on in your life, it's because you're not being godly. That's not what I'm talking about. Everyone goes through hard times. Everyone goes through difficulties. But I will stand here and say it's a lot better to go through those difficulties and hard times with God on your side and with God being pleased with you than it is without it. There are blessings that come from the Lord. But to who? Those that live godly. Those that God delights in. And David said, I want to please the Lord. I want to be like him. And if David wanted to please the Lord, can I ask this morning, do we? Do we have that same attitude? Do we have that same mindset? Where in our life, whatever we do, wherever we go, however we act, whatever we partake in, do we ask ourselves and have that mentality and have that mindset of, does this please the Lord? Is God happy, and does God delight in what I'm doing and how I am? And folks, we've missed that. And we've forgotten that. And I'm not talking this morning about, does Pastor Sherry delight in what I'm doing? I'm not saying, does Pastor Aaron, is he satisfied with how I live my life? I'm not saying spouse, and you have to worry, is it my wife that delights in my life, or my husband, or does my mom? I'm not talking about that this morning. That's stuff we should consider, amen? There's a place for that. But I'm talking this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty, and what does he think of you in your life? And is he pleased with it? And does he take delight in it? Because, folks, that's what really matters this morning. Above anyone else, above anything else, is God pleased with me in my life? Can I ask this morning, is He pleased with our priorities? When He looks at our life and what's most important and what we're most focused on and what drives us, is He pleased with it? Because over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Bible talks about that in all things He might have the preeminence, talking of Jesus Christ, meaning being first in our life. And God said, I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind and all thy strength. And this morning, as God looks at our life, is He pleased with our priorities? Are we godly in our priorities? I'm not asking this morning, are we good? Right? Because we can look at the world and find people that alcohol is their priority and drugs their priority and immorality is their priority and all these wicked types of things, and we can look and say, well, I'm better than that. Right? I work a job and provide for my family, and you know, I take care of my kids and make sure they're involved in things, and I invest, and we're good, and praise God for it. It's good to be good. But just because you're good doesn't mean you're godly. If you're godly, you're going to be good, amen. But just because you're godly doesn't mean it's good. But what have we done? Well, look how terrible the world is. And so maybe God's not the most important thing in my life, and maybe I don't do all the things like I should, and maybe I don't put Him, but man, he's partially there, right? I mean, I'm doing a whole lot better than other people are, so I'm good. Well, good. But what about being godly? And what about God looking at our lives and saying, yeah, I'm pleased with your priorities? And what you put your time into, and what you put your effort into, and what you put your money into, and what you put your desire into, and all those types of things. And this morning, folks, is God pleased with it? Once again, I'm not saying, am I pleased, or pastor pleased, or this. I'm asking for you to sit back and look at your life and say, is God pleased with these things? We could talk about our priorities. We could talk about our service. Is God pleased today with your service to Him? Because you know what we like to do? We like to compare our service with other people. Right? We don't necessarily look at the world because we don't expect the world to serve God. But we'll look at other people in the church and say, well, they don't do this, and they're not involved in this. They don't partake in this ministry, but I do. So man, I'm doing pretty good. And praise the Lord for that. That's good, right? Amen. But over in 2 Corinthians 10:12, the Bible talks about how comparing ourselves and measuring ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. And look, I've been there, right? Growing up in a pastor's home. And I want to say I'm very thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the many people that are involved, that it's not just all put on the pastor or myself or anything. I've been in churches like that. I've talked to pastors like that, where the pastor is everything and does everything, and it's hard. And I'm thankful our church isn't like that. But I've been there before, and I know other people, and you know what's easy to do? Instead of focusing on, okay, God, how do you want me to serve you? What ministries do you want me to be in? What kind of testimony, what kind of witnessing do you want me to be a part of? How many tracts should I hand out? How many people should I tell about Jesus? What we do is we get focused on how much we're serving already, and we look at others and say, well, they're not serving as much as I am, so I must be good. And yeah, compared to them, you are good. But guess what? God doesn't judge your service on what someone else is doing. God judges your service on what He wants you to be doing. And guess what? You may be doing a lot. Maybe God wants you to do more. I'm not the judge of that. That's between you and the Lord. But once again, it's stepping back and saying, God, are you pleased with what I'm doing, with my service? Folks, we have opportunities here. Hey, Monday, 3 p.m., great opportunity to go out and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want you to be there because I announced it this morning. I want you to be there because God wants you to be there. But I wonder how many of us today or tomorrow are going to actually sit down and say, okay, God, do you want me to be there? God, would it please you if I'm there? Next 4th of July, handing out those tracts. Yeah, we're going to encourage you and say, yeah, come on out and be a part of it. But I'm not talking about, are you going to be there because pastor's going to get up and say, yeah, let's go do this, let's go. Are you going to be there because does God want you there? And that's between you, Lord. I'm not going to be the judge of whether God wants you there or not. We have nursery and different things. We have these meetings and sign up for nursery and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, you may be involved in other ministries and do other things. But instead of looking around and saying, why do all this? And so-and-so else should step up and do it. Ask yourself, and maybe God will say, nope, you're good. But how about asking and saying, God, do you want me to do this? But it's that helping out your, whatever it is. It's this morning getting the mindset of, do I please God? And I'm not just satisfied with being good, but I want to be godly. And I want to be God-like. And I want my life to please the Lord. And folks, it's between you and God. And okay, we're talking about service, and I'm really going to start meddling this morning. We can talk about church service, but what about faithfulness to church? Hey, this morning, praise God, it's good that you're in church. Because guess what? There's a lot of people that aren't in church this morning that should be. And so it's good. But what about what God wants from you? Because, yeah, we have Sunday school. We have Sunday morning. We have Sunday night. We have Thursday night. We have more services than just Sunday morning. And when's the last time you asked God, Lord, are you pleased with my faithfulness to the house of God? Once again, not me, not pastor, not you asking God. But what's happened, though, a lot of times? Once again, because it's, Lord help us, rare for just people to come to church to begin with, we become just satisfied with that, right? Because people so rarely come to church. Well, if they just come Sunday morning, man, that's good. Praise God. And it is. I don't want to dissuade that. Praise the Lord for people that come Sunday mornings. But once again, it's not just saying, are we good? It's saying, what does God want? And that's between you and God. Because guess what? There are excuses for why people don't come more, and there are very valid good reasons of why people don't come more. And that's between you and God. I'm not the judge of that. And praise God, I don't want to be the judge of that. And so I'm not going to sit here and say, you should be at this service and that service and we have to. That's not my call. But the question is, the last time we were having a service and you weren't here, did you ask God, are you pleased with this? Lord, what do you think about this? That's all I'm saying. And if God gives you, okay, praise God, that's between you and the Lord. That's not my business. But once again, are we satisfied with being good or are we satisfied with being godly? And we can say, well, I do more than so-and-so, and I have this, and I'm good. Praise God, praise the Lord for good people and good things. But what about being godly? What about what God wants? And if God gives you the okay and says, then praise the Lord. Then you don't got to worry about it because you're pleasing God. And no matter what I think, no matter what anyone else thinks, if it's what God wants you to do, then God's pleased with it. And that's what's important. But once again, when's the last time we actually sat back and asked God and said, Lord, what do you think of this? What about this morning about our modesty? And is it good or is it godly? And Lord help us, it's not just ladies these days, it's men too. But can I ask you, once again, I know everyone loves preaching on this type of stuff, but when's the last time, man, woman, whatever, boy, girl, that before you went out of the house, you looked in the mirror and looked at your outfit and said, God, are you pleased with this? And God, is this pleasing to you? Not what does Pastor Sherry think of it, not what does Pastor Aaron think of it, not even if they're now kids, you need to listen and obey and respect your mom and dad. So yes, you should say, what do mom and dad think of this? But what does God think of this? Is God pleased with how tight my clothes are? Is God pleased with how much of my thigh or how much of my chest it shows off? Is God pleased with what my outfit draws attention to on my body? Amen. Thank you. Because this isn't easy to preach, amen. I didn't want to preach this message this morning. But the point is, does God please with it? And we've lost that. And I don't. I don't want tomorrow morning you look in the mirror and say, what does Aaron think? Get me out of your head, amen. But I do hope that you go home and say, what does God think of this? And what is God's standard for this? And is God pleased with this? Because it's important. And man, we can look at the world and especially with how warm it is, man, you're like scared to go to Walmart because you don't know what you're going to see. You're like walking through Walmart going like this, like, Lord, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen. Right? And we can look at that and say, well, I'm not that. And praise God, we're not that. And so we're good. But folks, it's not about being good this morning. David didn't say the godly man ceaseth. Or the good man ceaseth. He said the godly man ceaseth. And folks, I think it'd be important for us this morning to look back. And we could go through other things, right? But for sake of time, we won't. But yeah, our priorities, yeah, our service, yeah, our faithfulness to the house of God, yeah, to our mind, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit can deal with your heart about it. I don't have to. But is it pleasing to God? And that's something you got to come to the conclusion to yourself. And can I say this? What does the Bible say about it being pleasing to the Lord? What does God's Word have to say about it? Because, right, because we can convince ourselves it's pleasing to God. We can say, well, I do this, and because this is pleasing to me, well, this must be pleasing to God, and that's not always the case. But what does God's Word have to say about it? Folks, that's what we should base how we live our life on, is the Word of God. And not just my words this morning. Right? It doesn't really matter what I think. It matters what the Bible says. And yeah, I base my opinions and beliefs on the Word of God. But that's between you and the Lord to figure out and deal with. But once again, I'm only 27 years old, or what did I say before, a whole 27, I'll be 27 next week. But I've been around a little bit in church. I've been in the ministry for 8 years. I've traveled around to churches, talked to pastors a lot, got wisdom, all that kind of stuff. And from my experiences, my dad being a pastor, his experiences from talking to other pastors and men of God, a lot of times they preach on this stuff and people come up and their reasons for why they do what they do is, well, I think, well, I feel, or well, I believe. And very rarely does anyone ever come up and say, well, I dress this way, I think it's okay because this is what the Bible says. Or this is how much I go to church because of what the Bible says. Or this is what my priorities or service or whatever is because this is what the Bible says. And also, is this what the Bible says in context? Amen. It needs to line up with the Word of God, folks. This is the standard, not me. And Pastor Sherry would say the same thing. And yeah, as our pastor, you should respect what he has to say and pay attention to it because God's given him some wisdom and guidance and direction on things. It's important to take knowledge of that. But ultimately, it's the Word of God. And is it pleasing to the Lord according to His Word? But as I've said over and over again, and I hope this is coming across in a good way, that God is the judge and the one you have to convince and answer to. Not me. All right, I'm sure just because I've been around, because I've preached messages, at the very least, there's some people this morning that don't really like what I've just talked about and said. And possibly aren't very happy with me right now. Right? And you're having that conversation in your mind of all the reasons and excuses and why you do what you do and all that kind of stuff. You'll go home and you'll have that imaginary conversation, argument. You'll get in the shower tonight and you'll be like waving your arms around and talking. Maybe no one else does that, but you know, I can remember as a kid. Maybe this is just a preacher thing. But you know, I'd be in my room and it'd be like late Saturday night. That's normally when my dad would be studying. And I'd be in my room and all of a sudden it's turning this like whisper. Like, what the heck is that? Like, I knew my mom was asleep. I knew there's no one. Like, what's going on? I'd like peek my head around the door. My dad would be sitting in his chair, like getting in that preacher mode where he's like going through the message and talking and waving his hands. Like, what? What are you doing? And, you know, you ever see those Geico or whatever commercials about you become what your parents are? Like, I find myself doing that now. And I've had my mom come in and I'll be like in a message. I'm like, who are you talking to? Oh, no, sorry, just going over the message. Or you do that, right? You get in the shower. Man, I am the greatest conversationalist in the shower. I can argue with the best. I can prove my point the best. No one can handle me in the shower. But then you actually get in real life. But that's what we do, right? And I guarantee it. Some of it, that's what's going to be happening tonight. You're going to go home, and you're going to have your imaginary conversation with me of all the reasons of why you do what you do and why it's okay. But you don't answer to me. You answer to God. And can I tell you what? It'd make a big difference in that argument or conversation if instead of looking at me, you put God in that spot. And you tell God all the reasons and excuse or whatever it is, and maybe he'll be perfect. That's between you and the Lord. But get me out of the way, because it's not about me. It's about what the Lord wants. The Bible says in Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And you know why it's so important in our lives to be asking ourselves, does this please the Lord? Because one day we're going to give account for our lives. And we're going to go everything of how we lived and what we've done, and we're going to answer for it. Hey, you know what? I know we've had warm weather this past weekend. Guess what? The clothes you wore this weekend, one day you're going to stand before God and give an account for it. Not just this weekend, but your whole life. Hey, this past week when we had Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Thursday night, one day you're going to stand before God and give account of what you were doing during those times, whether you were here or whether you weren't. Not me, God. Hey, the services you're a part of and the things you do and the ministries, one day we're going to stand before God and give an account for all of it. And that's why it matters what God thinks, not others. Because you're not going to stand before me, you're not going to stand before Pastor Mike, you're not going to stand before your parents, you're not going to stand before your spouse. You're going to stand before God. And every single thing, you're going to have to give an account for. That's why the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord. And yeah, a lot of times it is a holy reverence, but that's a pretty fearful thing to think about, that one day I'm going to stand before God and go through my life and give an account for every single thing I've done. And how I've handled myself and how I've lived and how I've dressed and where I've been and all that kind of stuff. Folks, it's important to realize that we need to live our life in a way that pleases God, because we're going to be accountable for it one day. But you know, I looked up the definition of godly in the dictionary, and I really loved what it had to say. In the Webster's 1828 dictionaries, we're talking about godliness, and we're talking about living for the Lord and pleasing Him. But if you look up godly in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, the definition is living in obedience to God's commands from a principle of love to Him and reverence of His character and precepts. I'll say that again. Living in obedience to God's commands from a principle of love to Him and reverence of His character and precepts. And I really like that because it has a duality to it. And you know what this tells me? That by itself, having high standards doesn't make you godly. Just because you dress right, and you can be here every single time the doors are open, and you can be involved in this service and that ministry, and that, just because you're doing all these things doesn't mean you're godly. Because you can be doing it with the wrong heart. But at the same time, just because you love God doesn't mean you're godly too, if that's all it is by itself. They go together. Because it's an obedience to God's commands, the things He has set up. But what does it come from? a principle of love to Him and a reverence for Him. It's not just doing all these things because this is just what we have to do and this is, we're just a bunch of robots and we're just... No, it's, I love God, so I want to please Him. David lived in the way that he did because he loved God. And please don't miss that this morning. I'm not up here talking about church attendance and dress standards and service and all this kind of stuff just because I'm trying to force you to... I want you to understand, we need to do it from a love for God. Because once again, the whole picture, please don't miss this, does it please the Lord? Because if you're just doing it for me or something, that doesn't please God. Just as much as you not doing it does. It's about pleasing the Lord. Folks, as I said, high standards doesn't mean you're pleasing to God. Because I've been in churches before that, man, they rail on dress standards and church attendance and tithing and being involved and all this kind of stuff. And all it ever is do this, don't do that, go here, don't go there, dress this way, don't dress that way. And all it is just a bunch of rules. And yeah, those people of that church, on the outward, man, they're just, yeah, everything's great, everything's fine. They've conformed. But what have they conformed to? Just what the pastors drilled into their head. And you know what I find a lot of times? Those people are miserable. And those people really don't have much of a love for God. They're just doing it because they want the pastor to be quiet about preaching on all these types of things. And folks, that's not pleasing to God. It reminds me, we won't turn there for sake of time, but over in Matthew 23, verses 25 to 28, where God got on the Pharisees. And the Pharisees had all the right standards. And the Pharisees had all the right outward stuff of all these types of things where they put a lot of us to shame of how high their standards were. But God said, well, you're clean on the outside, you're disgusting on the inside. And they didn't do it because they loved God, and they didn't do it because they wanted to please the Lord. They just did it because what they could get from it. And the show and the praisement and all this kind of stuff, and God called them hypocrites. And folks, that's not right. That's not pleasing to God. And so we do need to look at our lives and say, why do we do what we do? Why do we dress the way we do? Why do we come to church as much as we do? Why do we serve in what we serve? What, is it pleasing to God? Is it because we love Him? Or is it just because this is just what has been told to us, what we have to do? But you know what I found? Mankind is very extreme. And we like to go to different extremes. And so you have that one extreme of just legalism and all that kind of stuff. It's all just about that and no love for God or anything. But people have seen that. And also I think just because mankind doesn't like to be told what to do. And we've gone to this opposite extreme. To where, well, it doesn't really matter what we do or how we act or how we dress or any of these types of things. As long as we love God, God's pleased with us. And hey, it's important to love God. But folks, there's more to the Christian life than just loving God. Have you read your New Testament recently? Yeah, that very much emphasized. That is the most important thing for you, to love God. But Jesus talked a lot about how you should live and what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at the things where Paul says, hey, be a stay away from this and be part of this and do this thing. That's part of the Christian life, is God's commandments. But what's happened? Well, we get this mindset of, well, we love God, so that means God's just pleased and satisfied with what we're doing. And I believe there are people that really do love God and really are sincere in their heart for the Lord. But just because someone's sincere does not make it right. And just because someone says they love God does not mean God is pleased with how they live their life. And I'll show you an example of this, because I'm sure some of you are thinking, this doesn't sound right to me. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. First Chronicles chapter 13, and we're going to talk about a man that really did love God, King David. And a man who it even says was after God's own heart. And a man that I respect a lot and hope that I could be half the man that he is, but he wasn't perfect. And can I say, as we're talking about this too, be careful, right? Because what the devil likes to do is cause us to take things personally. And the preacher gets up and preaches what God told him to preach. But yet we take it like, well, man, the preacher preached on my sin or this thing I don't do, so he must think I'm a terrible person. He must think that I don't love God, and I'm just... And that's not the case. In fact, many times, folks, we just do what God tells us to do. And we don't know who it's going to hit or who it affects or anything like that. But can I also say why I'm on the subject? Why do pastors and preachers always have to have such a hard time and be scared to preach what the Bible says? Why do they have to get up and be afraid of saying, "Thus saith the Lord," because of what people are going to think of them? Right? And man, people will go to work, and they'll go to school, and they'll go to college, and they'll have people tell them how to dress, and they'll have people tell them when to be there, and how much they should be there, and how often they should be there, and what time they should be there, and they'll have the government take part of their money from their thing, and all this kind of stuff, and these people will tell them. I'm not saying people like it, but they don't give those people half the hard time like they do the preacher for those types of things and telling them to do this. And can I tell you, that preacher, that pastor loves you a whole lot more than your boss or your college dean or your principal does. And we're not doing it to be mean. We're doing it because we love you, because we want to see godly living. That's kind of just a side note. But I do want to be clear in that, right? Because, right, I'm sure probably the devil's doing that right now, right? The devil's getting on our side. That preacher must think you're a terrible, no good, reprobate, vile person because he's preaching on... No. Because David was a great man. But we all have faults. I have faults. You have faults. And when Paul talked to Timothy about preaching the word, he said reprove and rebuke, which are both negative things. Guess what, folks? Because we need sometimes someone to get up and say, this is wrong according to God's word. And that's not because they hate us or God hates us. It's because we need to hear it, so we can do something about it. But here, getting back to 1 Chronicles chapter 13, this is when David wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel. And we're going to start in verse number 5. 1 Chronicles 13, verse number 5, it says, "So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even to the entering of Hemath, to bring the Ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up, and all Israel, to Bala, that is, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the Ark of God, the Lord that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the Ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might and with their singing and with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidron, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore that place is called Peruzzah to this day." What do you find here? Israel bringing back the Ark of the Covenant. And David wanting to bring back the Ark because he loved God. Did David love God? Yes, very much so. Did David want to please God? Yes. And we even see in here, man, they are worshiping and praising God. You see in verse number 8, it says, "And David and Israel played before God with all their might." Right? This wasn't just some like they were like having a good time. They were praising God and worshiping God, and right, we would look at, well, man, God just must be just, man, loves everything that's going on here. But you know what we find in this passage? That Uzzah dies. That the Ark of God starts to stumble, and Uzzah reaches over to touch it. And it says the anger of God was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because no one was supposed to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And you know what? Even though David loved God, and even though David was praising God and worshiping God and was sincere, David did some wrong things in this passage. Do you know this morning how the Ark of God was supposed to be taken from place to place? You look back in Leviticus, and God said this thing is holy, and so when it's moved, hey, the Levites are supposed to carry it on their shoulders from place to place. And once again, the Levites were the ones that were supposed to be doing it. But what do we find here? well, hey, back when the Philistines were getting rid of the cart, they just put it on a cart driven by oxen. And it got to that place. And so I wonder if David and some of his counselors, well, this is what the Philistines did and it worked. And man, it's a whole lot easier to put it on ox cart and take it that way than have men carry it for a long way. But it wasn't what God wanted. And it wasn't what God said. And because David didn't follow God's commandments, someone died because of it. And God didn't look down and say, well, David, you really love me, so I'm, you know, it's okay, it's good. And he didn't say, oh, David, you're really sincere and you're praising and worshiping and having a good time, so you're good. It's not that big of a deal. No, David, God said, this is wrong. And I gave a command way back when of how you're supposed to do this. And folks, I'm not saying today that you don't do something right or don't live godly, that God's going to kill you or anything like that. But you're going to put yourself and you're going to put others in a position where they could get hurt. And yeah, it wasn't just, oh, well, that's just old-fashioned, right? That was just how they used to do it. Or this is just inconvenient. Be more comfortable to do things this way. Well, how'd that work out? And yeah, we're not godly in our priorities. And we're not godly in our service. And we're not godly in our faithfulness to church. We're not godly in our modesty. And we're not godly in all these. You know what it can do? It can put us and it can put others in a position for them to get hurt. And folks, just because we love God or are sincere does not mean we can just do whatever we want to do and God's pleased with it. God is very serious about His Word and living according to it. And folks, that's the thing. We need both. Yeah, loving God is very important. And I'll tell you what, I would rather have someone that has a genuine true love for God and doesn't have the best standards than someone that has a bunch of great standards and no love for God, right? I'd rather have this other. But once again, it's what is God pleased with. And God is pleased with someone that lives godly and lives righteous and has His standards, but does it because they love the Lord. And does it because they reverence Him. Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore shalt thou love the Lord thy God. There's the love. And keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments alway. They go together, church. Both of them. And it doesn't work just to have one and not the other. We need both. And God told the Israelites, hey, yeah, you need to love God and you need to keep His commandments. You need to live godly. Over in John 14 and verse number 15, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Not you love me, so you're good. But if you love me, keep my commandments. And like I said, He got on the Pharisees because they didn't love Him, but they kept commandments, and that wasn't right. But folks, we're talking about being godly today, not just good. And we're talking about how the godly man has ceased. And those that are faithful to godliness has ceased. And we need to get back to it. And let's turn to one last place. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, in verse number 2, 1 John 5, 2, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Can I ask you this morning, is it grievous for you today to live how God wants you to? Folks, it ought not to be. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It ought not to be a drudgery to come to church. Man, I love coming to church. I look forward to Sunday and Sunday night. I'm glad I have a place where I can go and meet with God. It ought not to just be all, I got to go to church again, and all the pastor preached on this, and so I... That's not the right attitude and spirit. I get to go to church. Is it grievous for you to be modest? Right? It's all such a drag that I have to, you know, wear skirts or pants a certain way, and I have to, you know, cover up a certain thing. That ought not to be grievous to us. Because we ought to want to please God. And say, who cares what's popular and who cares what's fashionable? And it doesn't matter if it's... I want to please God. And so if God's pleased with it, that's good enough for me. But once again, I think honestly this comes from kind of a lack of love, a lack of priorities being in the right spot. It becomes grievous to us and our service to God. Right? And hey, I struggle with this at times too. When I spoke about going out Monday and holding up a sign, I said, oh man, I've got to go out and do that now because he preached on it and God's going to convict me, so I got to be there because I got to... No, what ought to be? I have a chance to go out and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Or hand out a tract or serve in the church or be in the... Folks, it's having the right mindset and attitude and love. And it not being grievous. And what's it come from? That love for God. That causes us to keep his commandments. It's important, folks. If pianists would like to come forward and start playing some, it's something we need to ask today. Very seriously. And I know we're drawing the service to a close and all that kind of stuff, and we're thinking, what's going on? But how about it this morning? How is our godliness? Do we please the Lord? When's the last time we've asked God, are you pleased with my life? Am I like you? Hey, am I going to be satisfied when I have that standard of godliness and I awake with thy likeness? Because, folks, we need help. Our families, our homes, our churches, our nations, individuals, we need help. We need some godly men and women. And Lord, have mercy and help us if that would be the case today. That at Faith Baptist Church, David would have to say, help, Lord, because the godly man ceaseth. And God would have to say, I sought for a man among them, but I found none. And so how about it this morning? The piano plays, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The altar's open if you need to use it or do business in your seat. But are you good or are you godly? We need to ask ourselves that today. It's important. So piano plays, you do business with the Lord.